It's a pleasure here to have Adam Fitz. As I mentioned, he was living in Chicago. We'll talk more about his life after his first song, but let's get a chance to hear him play. Here now is Adam Fitz.
Picking up the pictures that fell off the shelf, you carry out what you brought in. You know your mama loved you from the way she'd sign her letters. She wrote to you each time you went away. Just thinking about the way you used to. Just thinking about the way you used to. Thinking about the way you used to. Can't be bad when you expect it get worse. Everything you hold is bound to be left. This boy lies or sits in his chair. He can sleep just fine when he wants to. Said I sleep just fine when I want to. But got no reason to get up early. They're fishing for us with worms. Got no worries. There ain't no problems. Ain't nothing we can't sleep off. Just thinking about the way you used to. Just thinking about the way you used to. Just thinking about the way you used to. No one left to disappoint. If you could hold me, just hold me. Hold me so I can let it go. Coming to terms with this mug you were stuck with. Our job is to watch things disappear. And the shipping canal is flexing its muscles. We walk into church and we sit. I said we go to church and just sit there. Just thinking about the way you used to. 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 Thinking about the way you used to. Thinking about the way you used to.
Adam Fitz here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Adam, tell me a little bit about that song.
That song I wrote early on, back in like maybe 2003 or 4. My mom passed away in 2002. It's a long time ago. And that kind of was one of the catalysts that got me. I feel like that life event was something that transitioned me from writing songs when I was kind of in my high school band to like what now is called Adam Fitz.
She must have been pretty young.
She was in her late 40s.
Oh, that's so, yeah. That's well, it's always heartbreaking to lose.
It's hard to lose anybody.
Anyone, but that's a young age. So were you fairly young?
I was in my early 20s.
Yeah, that's definitely an event. Now I mentioned you came, or a life-changing event. You came from Chicago, but we didn't have a chance to talk. Because I wanted to wait and talk on the radio instead of behind the scenes. But I took a quick look at some of your social media and online stuff. Were you raised in Chicago?
I was born and raised in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago. And then I met a girl from the Greensburg Latrobe area. And now I live in the Greensburg Latrobe area.
She hauled you back.
So she lived there for a long time. And we eventually met, courted for a long time, had children. And then Chicago got, expensive. And we wanted to – she's really close to her family who lives in the Greensburg Latrobe area. So it was kind of time to Retreat to the Highlands.
Absolutely. And the built-in babysitters and
we lived with them for a bit, and then now we live about a mile away. So, yeah, it's they're helping. Even this morning, they're helping. So, yes.
How many kids do you have?
Two. I have a six-year-old daughter and a three-year-old son.
We'd better name them or mention their names.
Charlotte is my six-year-old daughter, and Carter.
Hi, Charlotte. Hi, Carter. Two C's.
yeah.
A C and C.
Yeah.
It's nice to... I hope you're listening. If you're not listening now, you'll be listening on demand to your daddy. How did you tell me about figuring out that you wanted to play the guitar? How did you learn? And
so early on when I was growing up, my parents were really into songwriters. And I mean, I was raised on like oldies radio, which would be like Motown and some of that sort of music. And then, but my parents loved songwriters. There's a big songwriting tradition in Chicago. And as I reflect now, I just turned 40, and as I reflect back on my childhood, I'm remembering that my father at some point made me a cassette tape, a pair of mixtapes. And the cassette tape that he made me, the first song on it was Please Don't Bury Me by John Prine.
Mm-hmm.
And then was Brewer and Shipley's One Toke Over the Line,
mm-hmm.
and then the entire Tom T. Hall's children's record. So I was like, maybe he didn't make it for me, but then I was like, no, the children's record was on it. It had to be for me. And so, you know, I now when I play out, I caution parents about introducing their children to John Prine's music because they might end up wanting to do this. So I love the idea of writing songs, and I'm still working on trying to write John Prine songs.
You know, it's funny, as you were warming up, and I will tell you that Adam has duplicate strings, I think, or those all G's. You've got a lot of extra strings because of your playing style. And we were talking about breaking a string, and I was going to ask you if you had ever heard of an artist named Steve Goodman.
Oh, yeah.
And I decided not to because I'm thinking, nah, this guy's too young. He's not going to... going to know Steve Goodman, but forgetting the Chicago connection is that rolled around in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve Goodman has a broken string song that he plays when he's replacing a string.
Oh, does he? I haven't heard that. I need to research that.
Yeah, you'll be able to find a copy of it. It's kind of funny. It is timed to the changing of the string.
Awesome.
it goes very well.
Thank you for that tool. I'll definitely research that. I promise.
So you probably, did you spend time in Old Town or?
I mean, I ended up working at a record shop, an independent record store that was right across the street from the current Old Town School of Folk Music. So I did interact with people that taught lessons there and that worked there, but I never actually went there and took classes. I saw shows there. It was like a introductory, like free class to try that, you know, like a songwriting class one time as like a, just to see if it was something I wanted to do. And it wasn't the right time for that for me. But the tradition looms large there.
Yeah. Chicago's a great town and, great for music, genuine. I'm sure Pittsburgh has embraced you. I hope that you like Pittsburgh.
I love it here. I absolutely adore it.
Yeah, there's a number of similarities, but I'm also sure you want to get back home every now and then too.
The things I miss the most are the people. I moved here when I was like 36 or 37, so I miss 37-year-old relationships,
mm-hmm.
and I also miss some of the food.
I'll bet.
Being in Greensburg especially. And there's some great stuff there, but like, you know, the best Thai restaurant in Greensburg is the only Thai restaurant in Greensburg.
So. I'm trying to think of what I think. Well, we always think of, you know, Chicago hot dogs and that kind of stuff.
Hot dogs or pizza are like the
yeah.
The
oh, yeah, the deep dish
but
pizza.
But there's just like, it's just such a big city with rich ethnic traditions. And so, like, you know, there used to be two Ethiopian restaurants in East Liberty, and I don't think either of them exist anymore. We went to one of them when we first moved here.
It's funny. I immediately thought of Chicken Paprikash. Cicero used to have a lot of nice Hungarian and Eastern European restaurants when I would spend time there. It's a long time ago. If you're just joining us, Adam Fitz is here. Why don't we have you play another song? What would you like to do next?
Great. This next song is a song I wrote for my wife, and it's called We Are Not These Angry Times.
Here's where I'll stay till the good Lord takes me from here. Red hair's perfect red. Young, young. It was long ago when all of this began. So I won't go. I'm in this as deep as I can go. Oh, she's pretty and she's kind. We are not these angry times. We are not. Be swayed. Take, take. Sometimes I drink too much and I make lots of mistakes. Give, give. Let's give ourselves some time to forgive. So I won't go. I'm in this as far as I can go. Oh, she's stubborn and I'm blind, and we are not. Kids who love to build. So I won't go. I'm in this as long as it will go. Oh, he's crazy and she's shy, and we are not these angry times. We are not these angry times. And we are not these angry times. We are not.
That's a fine song there from Adam Fitz. How old is that song?
I wrote it for my wife's 40th birthday. So I think she's 41 now, 42. I don't keep track.
Okay. So,
about a year old.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would imagine it's was written within the last 3 years or
it
so.
It was written recently.
It's what a great song. Adam Fitz is here performing. Have you recorded anything yet? Let you. I didn't mean to ask you that as you were grabbing a drink.
Yeah. No, I have. I worked with a guy out of Chicago, a guy named Mike Corcoran, back in 2003 to 2005. And he plays drums in a band in Chicago called Deals Gone Bad. And we worked out of his attic studio, and there was like 20-some people that played on it. It was kind of like a glorified bedroom recording with really great musicians and really great mics. And so that record came out in 2005. It's called Between the Incident and the Event. And then I did another record that took even longer because the guy who engineered that record in the process of recording it ended up getting having a pretty tragic accident on a bicycle and broke both his arms.
Oh,
and
was dear.
A whole thing. So that record is called Curing Too Much With More, and it was my attempt at like a psychedelic record.
Oh, very neat.
So, and then we put on a live record somewhere around there too. We recorded it live in a studio in Chicago. And then I've been kind of dabbling out singles. I have a record that my main collaborator is down in Mississippi now. His name is Eddie Dixon, and he is in the process of mixing some songs right now that were recorded sporadically before I left Chicago.
Excellent. How can people find it? Are you where all good music is streamed?
Where all good music is streamed, okay. Yeah. Thanks to the lovely people at CD Baby, who make it super easy for independent artists to distribute their music.
CD Baby needs to make it easy, forgive the editorial, for folks like me to get access to the music they're
I think their platform allows you to download from their platform, I believe, and then they also like kick it to all of the streaming services. You decide.
Yeah.
You can customize it.
It's a good idea. I mean, because there's so many artists we would love to give more airplay to. But that's a conversation.
I love the platform. You know, I mean, it's what a great time to live and be an independent artist, you know. Also, the signal-to-noise ratio is so huge. So, you know, we're looking at 40,000 new songs on Spotify per day.
Yeah.
So, but when people say that the best music is in the past, I say that there's no way that genius music is not happening today when that much music is coming out. There's lots of garbage.
Yeah.
And there's lots of noise, but it'd be impossible for something revolutionary not to be happening right now.
No, and I think there's a lot more to discover. It's an interesting time in which to live, and I think in 20 to 30 years things may settle down a little bit. It's a teeny bit of the Wild West still,
right,
when it comes to that. So look for Adam Fitz's music at those services.
So Bandcamp is like most of the stuff, because there's some covers that I put out that I don't put on the streaming services on purpose, just because I don't own the copyrights to them. So,
yeah,
I think that it's a service, you know. Those are on Bandcamp.
Excellent. And I think we linked to your Bandcamp page, but make sure you look for probably Adam Fitz Music or Adam Fitz.
AdamFitz.bandcamp.com.
Oh, easily. And yeah. And for other services, though, I'm thinking if you're...
Just Adam Fitz Music, yeah.
Yeah, you'll find it there. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on community radio. And before I forget, I mentioned Radical Days before. It's September 29th, Sunday, between noon and 5. We'll have an open house. And I think Ricky and I are scheduled to be here to greet you and show you behind the scenes of our studio. She's nodding her head. I see her. So we'll be here. That's September 29th. Adam, I'm enjoying your songs. What do you want to play next?
There's a song that I have called "Can't Pardon Me" that I wrote. I mentioned my friend Eddie Dixon, who's down in Mississippi. And beginning of last year, we did a song title challenge. So every month we'd send each other a song title, and we had the month to write that song. And this was January 2018.
This was sent to you.
This was sent to me.
Eddie.
It was called "Can't Pardon Me."
Interesting.
And this is what I came up with. So. Bark is brittle, the bars have worn down my bite, almost in spite of the hope you had in hiding the parts we'd lost along the way. Please excuse the man I used to be. Excuse the painful things we've seen. No excuse could cure this guilt or set me free. Every day I write the man who can't pardon me. Push comes to shove, a heart that's broken is open, is waiting for love. A wedding band and moving boxes, they clutter the basement with your past. Please excuse the man I used to be. Excuse the peace I failed to keep. No excuse could cure this haunted memory. Every day I write the man who can't pardon me. Skies have cleared up, the wind had called and now has come. A pair of kids, they make silly choices, but there's much less to be lost than to be found. Please excuse the man I never came to be. Excuse the kid you took away from me. No excusing all those wicked words we'd speak. Every day I write the man
every day I write the man who can't pardon me. Every day I write the man who can't pardon me.
Adam Fitz at the Saturday Light Brigade. When did you know you wanted to write songs? You mentioned we were talking about the mixtape earlier, which was probably in your childhood,
that was
right?
My childhood, yeah.
But when did you really first get interested in crafting your own songs? Because you mentioned covers before. I know you've had fun putting your own spin on covers, but clearly you've become pretty passionate about songwriting.
I definitely love it. I always had this thing, like, one of the things that loomed large in Chicago was the blues scene, and, like, my family, like, one of my first concerts was probably going to Blues Fest, and I can't even remember when, because my parents would take me every year, and as I aged up in the 90s, I kind of, like, had this this foolish, entitled, and prideful idea of that writing your own music was better than playing somebody else's, and at this point now, at 40, I'm like, I wish I learned the whole Beatles catalog or the whole Nirvana catalog when it was the appropriate time for that. So in high school, when I actually started playing with some people and I wanted to sing, and then we couldn't find a guitar player, so then I was figuring out the guitar on the fly, poorly, but, you know, we all start someplace. And I just started trying to write songs. And then I kept trying to write better songs and write better songs. And then when I started, like, calling myself Adam Fitz, because my middle name is Fitzgerald, which is where Adam Fitz comes from. It's my mother's maiden name. So when I decided, this is the thing, that's when I started to, like, really focus in. And that would have been about 1999, around then, when I was like, all right, I'm going to start trying to do this thing. I had worked for like 3 months at Tower Records, which is where I met Eddie Dixon and a couple other people. And that was kind of like a sea changing moment for me. And that's when I started writing songs. And then after my mother passed away, I feel like they got a little bit better. I'd say like that 1999, 2000 is when I was like, when I would consider like this era of what I'm doing now, the beginning of that.
And do you feel yourself, you strike me as somebody where ideas for songs would come pretty easily. Maybe not.
It depends. It depends. I right now I have, I'm tuned in to just hearing things and, you know, like, take three words that are in a song that aren't the hook and be like, oh, those three words sound like something. Like Jason Isbell talks about that when he's writing. He like hears a conversation and he'll hear something that sparks something else, you know? And so I feel like a lot of people who write are just kind of tuned into some things like that. And so I just have like on my phone a notepad and I have like one note that's called idea. And it's just, you know, it's like pages and pages long. And so sometimes one of those things immediately turn into something, and other times I'll sit down and go through it and try to do the work, you know, the difference between the inspiration and the perspiration.
It's interesting. August Wilson, the playwright, it is said, and I think it's known, he's contemporary, but he would collect phrases and sentences that he overheard. And he would sort of store those acoustically on bulletin boards and boxes, et cetera. And a lot of his dialogue was based upon things he heard that he interwove, but they were actual things, you know, he would overhear.
This sounds so authentic. So, yeah, because someone actually said it.
Yeah. And, and if you're a good listener, you know, that's going to happen too. The other thing, and I don't mean to digress, but I can't remember the university or the professor, but I heard him being interviewed about 5 years ago. He was probably way ahead of his time. He was teaching his students to construct written works, not using words and sentences, but using blocks of language written by other people. His thesis was that And he meant this in terms of academic writing, not just fiction or expository writing, but that words would soon be less important than the actual macro.
Like the feeling or the message?
Yeah. And as I express it now, I think it's still kind of controversial to get away from individual words. But he was saying, you know, most of the people I am teaching, it's going to be more important for them to be able to construct clear writing from blocks of existing sentences or paragraphs mm-hmm. that they alter, as opposed to having them construct.
So citing sources.
Things. Yeah. And so,
man, it's funny because I really believe that, like, you know, people hold Bob Dylan on a really high pedestal, as do I. And but I think that what he was able to do, the thing that made him special, is that also the way he perceived time. But I think a big thing is that he was able to cite a lot of sources, but because what he was citing was so broad, it came to synthesize something new.
You know? Sure. That's somewhat what this professor, and I'm sorry that I can't remember his name. This was years ago, but that's kind of what he was saying, too.
When there's 8 billion people on the planet and now media is being collected, right? Because before that, there was ideas that were written down and they were shared in text, right? But then now that, I mean, like, we're an exponential growth with the amount of content that's coming out. It's hard to have a truly original thing, right?
Very much.
And even when things were happening isolated around the world, in retrospect, we look at a lot of that stuff was happening at the same time in different places that had no connection, you know? So, like, ideas are going to be popping out just out of the collective consciousness.
Many original ideas are independently developed in multiple places. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's stories in history where literally two people have the same idea or the same invention, that same eureka moment. And now we know about it when it happens.
Right.
We didn't before. Adam Fitz is here playing today. Adam Fitz Music. And I know you had a gig last night. Now, tonight you're performing.
I'm down at Market Square.
Market Square
for the
today.
WYEP singer-songrighter
yeah,
finals.
Yeah, I thought so.
Super excited about it.
So will you find out?
80 people. They had 4 preliminary rounds with 20 people in each.
Excellent.
And so I'm really honored to have been invited to do this.
So you'll find out tonight?
Yeah, we perform 2 songs and then they vote. So, and you know, every time I've done it, I've been exposed to more of the musical talent that happens in southwestern Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy because there's just so much. And it's a small enough city. I mean, 1 million people, you know, and like when you look at the whole metro, but it's not fully saturated. Like I'm meeting people now 3 years into being here that I've been active for 3 years and I never met them before, which is great. And then and I talk to them about people I have met and they don't know some of them. So I'm like, oh, there's so much potential here. There's so much more weaving that can happen.
Exactly. And I'm somewhat partisan as a native, but the Pittsburgh region is small enough to feel like you can have a really big impact and you can make deep relationships relatively quickly, but it's still large enough, as you've said, where weaving can occur and where you can meet new people. And I think Chicago actually has a lot of that because of the neighborhoods.
It does. Chicago, Pittsburgh has some parallels, especially around the neighborhoods. And I could go on and on about my perception of the Pittsburgh culture.
Did you feel, well, living in Latrobe is a little different than living in Pittsburgh.
That's different. The last 2 years I did work in East Liberty. I'm a school teacher, and I taught at a charter school in Lincoln-Larmor for the last 2 years. And then I would play music in Pittsburgh. So I get a vibe of, and it's kind of the whole region, but Pittsburgh specifically, there's this merging of culture. There's like an Atlantic Coast culture, and there's this Midwestern Rust Belt, like ball busting with friends like these, you know, like humbling sort of culture. And then there's that, I started calling it Southern, but I've been corrected that it's Appalachian, this Appalachian culture, you know, where like camo and like a camouflage shirt and a Steelers hat is like appropriate, you know, like in most occasions.
And some of that culture too is, you know, very much has Irish and Scottish mm-hmm. and British roots from people that came to work here. It's an interesting mix, and it gives you a chance to explore a lot of the human condition, which is good. I think we should have time for two more songs, I think. I'm trying to keep an eye on the clock, too. What would you like to play next?
I have a song I wrote for my cousin who had struggled with addiction. And he, about a year ago, he almost lost his life from it. And luckily, he's still with us. But when I wrote this song, I didn't think he would be. And so it's called Long Time Losing You. You're in a quiet fight with whatever you took last night. Oh, the heart can only hold so much pain. So whether you pull through or your worldly parts, they all come unglued. For years we've been mourning for us too. It's been a long time losing you. It's been a long dreamt of beaches, bonfires, and flying kites. I can taste the itch of our family name. So whether you make it out or your body and soul, they take different routes. For years we've been wishing it weren't true. It's been a long time losing you. So irrelevant your breath, so vacant your eyes. So much they could say, how we're so much alike. So whether your heart holds up or your spirit must release, the poems your heart's built, they've been left without you. Been a long time losing you. The poems your heart's built, they've been left without shoes. It's been a long time losing you.
It's Adam Fitz. Has your cousin heard that song?
He has, yeah.
That's
I was lucky enough to actually let him hear it.
Yeah, that's a powerful song, and probably is one I think that people can relate to. I mean, I think you wrote a very personal yet very relatable song.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
It's just a gut-wrenching thing to go through. Adam, I hope people will take a look for your CDs at CD Baby. Or Bandcamp, where you can find some of the other music. What time will you be at Market Square tonight? Is it about 6?
The show starts at 6, and they don't know the order yet, but it's 12 of Pittsburgh's best songwriters playing 2 songs each.
So 24 songs, 72 minutes. Well, however long, it'll be fun. Is there anything that you didn't get a chance to say based on what I've asked you that you'd like to
mentioned. I did want to expand on some, because I was talking about all the talent that I met here, mm-hmm. and how the city's not fully saturated. So a couple things converged for me, where when I had kids and I started getting into my 30s, and I realized that, you know, there's the possibility of being the Nirvana, that something happens when you're in your 20s. And then I feel like if that doesn't happen, a lot of people quit, you know. And so I went back to school in my mid-30s, because I kind of changed my point of view and said, okay, it didn't happen fast, so now how can I do this for as long as possible, you know? And so, like, for a couple of years when I was in school, my music was basically on life support. I was playing about 2 shows a year.
Mm. What did you study?
What did I study?
With education? Or
I went to school for early childhood education. So then moving here, I was actually able to – my wife has been very understanding. And so, like, now I'm playing about 60 shows a year. I also kind of got over myself, and now I'm willing to go play for 3 hours and play covers in the bars to make a couple $100, you know, to kind of to supplement this. So, like, to supplement the things that I love to do. And this great thing happened where, like, I feel like I'm a better performer and I write better songs because I learned a couple hundred songs, you know. But in my travels around Pittsburgh, I met so many musicians that I was blown away by, and I play solo, so I didn't have a chance to, like, collaborate with people, and so I decided to I started this video series just with my iPhone, and so now I do a weekly video series called For a Song, where I contact local songwriters or artists, and I asked them if we could duet a song together, and I tape it on my iPhone, and then I interview them, and we talk about the song. If it's a cover they pick, like, why did you pick the song? If it is one of their songs, like, where did it come from? And so this is great for me, getting to talk to you, because I love talking about music as much as I like playing and listening to it. So I just kind of wanted to talk about that project a little bit, because it's been one of my favorite things I've done in all my years of playing music, is getting to meet all these people and getting to learn a new song all the time, and just get to talk about people. And there's so many people that don't get asked about their songs, you know, like, and so people feel, from what I've heard from people who I've gotten to do it with, they said, like, it's great to just kind of unpack some of the, the stuff that they worked on. You know, they toiled over that one word, and they're begging people to download it for free or check it out on Spotify, you know? So that's been one of the coolest things about being here, is getting to meet all these different musicians and get a chance to collaborate with some of them.
Well, that's great to hear that, and continued success to you. And I hope you'll come back sometime.
I would love to.
What would you like to close up with?
So I have a song called Summer Night. And it's, I call it a party jam, but there's still some heavy stuff in it. So, yeah, it's called Summer Night.
Jackpot the 50, Veterans Hall is busy. Crowds just spilled out into the lot. Her shorts were frayed and frail. Her keys hung by a nail next to a picture of God. It's funny how the metal cut to let you enter has outlived the lock that it served. So now here we gather, we all band together, batting. Out to the curb. Your missteps are fatal. This red-headed tornado, she's going off tonight, and it's about to start.
Jesse blew a stop sign, but he won't pay no big fine. You see, his dad's name's all over this town. There's fire in the distance, that's the sound of the resistance. The casings in the dirt don't make a sound. On the block where we lost Connor, we'll raise one in his honor. So now here we gather to prove that we matter. This here's the high life, you got that right. On a summer night,
Adam Fitz and No Strings were harmed at all during this performance. Best wishes for continued success.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being with us today.